And so it begins, of course, with an opening. So part one, your opening. And in your opening, you're going to begin with a counterintuitive opener, right? We like to start with a bang. We really don't like it when facilitators start with logistics. Hey, and here's where the bathrooms are, and here's, I'll tell you when you can ask questions, and so on and so forth. And you've basically taken the potency and energy of the room and just dissipated it all with kind of the least high leverage words out of your mouth, right? And so instead, we want you to start with a bang, like a counterintuitive opener. Here would be an example. Almost everything you've ever been taught about sales is untrue. And in the next hour, sales will start to become one of your favorite things, right? So all of a sudden, you're going to want to listen to that. Or here would be another example. Every one of you is only living up to a shadow of your potential. And not because you aren't willful, creative, and hardworking, but because you're about to learn your potential is unimaginably greater than you perceived. So, you know, those are starting with a bang. You know, Brian is known for starting with really controversial openings, you know, something that gets your emotions rising. Sometimes we'll put a quote on one of our flip charts that's a really powerful statement. So we're not going to open and start with logistics. And, you know, we might thank you for being there, but we try to make that really short. So that's part of your opener. There's two parts. And the second part of your opener is to talk about your mission. Now, this applies if this isn't a recurring group. You, of course, don't need to re-say your mission necessarily with a group that you've been meeting with over and over. But if this is a new group, you want to talk about your mission because you want to, one, contextualize the learning so that it feels important to them, right? If they get your why, they're going to feel like they're part of something that's bigger than you and bigger than them. And that contextualizes their learning. So it has that gravitas and importance, right? If you don't have the relationship of its importance, they certainly won't. Another reason you want to talk about your mission is to lend a sense of belonging, right? Like I said, to something greater than themselves. Third, you want to give credibility to you as the speaker as you share why uniquely you are in front of the room sharing on this topic. So as you share your mission, it should be clear that you're one of the only people in the planet to be giving them this particular experience and that you're really unique and rarefied in being able to deliver what you're delivering. It shouldn't feel like that anybody could get up and talk, give the same talk, that you and your experience is why you're up there. So you want to give that credibility. Next, you want to inject a sense of energy and passion into the space before you really dive into your content, right? Depending on the depth and breadth of your content, you really want to start with a lot of passion and energy. And if they feel that passion and energy, it's going to be contagious, right? So they need to feel that. They need to like you in those first few minutes. So during your first 5 to 10 minutes, begin with connecting your audience to your greater mission, the purpose behind your work. You know, and if your background and credentials aren't all that impressive yet, don't worry. It's actually more important that you're open and vulnerable and relatable. You know, tell the story of why you're doing this work and have it come from an authentic place. I promise you that authenticity will beat bravado every time. And so bring that authenticity. And if you're helping people to transform an aspect of their lives that you've already transformed, then now's the time to share your story of that process and how and why you're in the place to share that with them now. So, by the way, we have an exact script of what you can use if you're a Recode facilitator and learning how to facilitate our content. And so we've actually given you the Recode mission verbatim, which you can read off or learn or put your own spin on. And so we try to make that easy for those of you that are teaching Recode. So the next part of your prep work, after you've done your counterintuitive opener and you've figured out your mission and shared that, is really your prep should be in writing down the set of clear stories that you plan to cover in your event. And we basically recommend that you have one major clear story per 5-part section and that you explore that clear story with the lecture, an interactive exercise, a debrief, and a closing, right? And if you have a clear story that might have a few different adjunct or ancillary stories that support it, that's okay, but that it's about one thing. And so for every 1 or 2 hours, you're really covering one clear story. And so you're not just saying the story, you're giving it, you know, making it interesting. You know, I gave the example of the wire chicken versus the interesting chicken, where the wireframe is the clear story. It's just the wire, right? But if you add the lectures and the exercises and the debriefs and the staging questions and the closing, that starts to give, have the picture come to life. And so that's what you're going to do here. So that's your opening, right? Sounds simple enough? So let's move on to the next part. And we're going to dive into the lecture next, right? And this is at least a 30-minute section. Now, your lecture is going to have a lot more detail as I get into this section with you than the next three. But one of the reasons for that is that here is where we're going to cover it. And in the next three, we're going to have actually individual trainings on things like how to do exercises and how to do debriefs. And so we'll go into lecture now and cover the other two sections in a light way, but know that more is coming. So in your lecture, you're going to be sharing the clear story for the specific topic of that event, right? And so during your lecture, we recommend that you make sure that at least one or two of the transformational elements that we've taught you in the earlier training on how to develop transformational content. If you remember that training, we told you, gave you all these elements to use in your lecture, which are things like diagrams, things like narrative tags that are memorable, metaphors that tell the story, things like personal anecdotes, things like rhetorical situations, things like hero and dunce stories, right? Things like games, you know, and there's so many of those. So we recommend that you pick at least one or two of those for your lecture and start using them, right? And so here are some additional structures that we recommend covering during your lecture. So if you've got your clear story and you've got a few of those transformational elements from that earlier training, you're part of the way there, but here are some other pieces. So one, we recommend that you start with nailing the field, right? This is the you think ... what they already think or believe or experience on this topic. And this is about getting their feedback to reaffirm the you think of your clear story. So rather than lecturing nonstop, we actually recommend that you stop for a moment and ask the staging question, you know, how many people have X experience? You know, what's that like for you? What's a time when you felt like that, right? And so you're asking these staging questions where you've asserted the you think into the room, and you're getting them to tell you, yeah, this is my experience. Yeah, this is my experience. So they're giving you content and reaffirming that the you think is right on. And if you haven't gotten it right on, you could even say, so does anyone else have a different experience? Right? And so now you're presencing what the actual audience's experience is in the room, which when you nail the field is going to be all that much more powerful as you start to lecture and give the other elements and give them a way out of that experience into a new one. Right? So that's number one, is you're going to nail the field by getting feedback from your audience to reaffirm that you think. Number two is, you know, the credibility and benefit section of your lecture. So this is, why should they listen? You know, we'll often leave this out and just assume, well, you're here, aren't you? So you must want to listen to me. But you actually want to deliberately and explicitly tell them why they should listen to you. And so you want to build your credibility and the benefit of the then you'll get, right? Then you'll get is the benefit that they get out of having this shift. So an example would be, you know, tell a story of you getting that benefit. Right? And so that both lands credibility and gives them a sense of the benefits you got out of it in a story that you're going to tell from a, you know, an engaging perspective. And remember, we taught you how to be dynamic in your storytelling in a prior training. So you can use that, you know, or an example would be someone else getting that benefit. So you're telling a story of somebody else getting that benefit so that they get, oh, I want that benefit too. I better listen. Or maybe it's a student or a client of yours getting that benefit. Right? So it doesn't have to be you. It could be someone else that you know. It could be a student or a client. It could be anything like that. So you want to tell between 1 to 3 stories that make it clear that people are getting the then you'll get. And that you're the expert in helping them to do that. So that's what you're going to land as your second piece, right? And so after you're nailing the field and your credibility and benefit, number three, it's the section I would call it's not your fault. And this is why it's normal for people to not have it, right? You want them to really have a sense of rapport, that you understand their experience, because people will say often, and when they're listening to a presentation, well, I'm sure that would work for so-and-so, you know, someone in this position, but it's not really going to work for me. And so you want to land why it's normal for them to have it and that you get that and that this does apply to them. And so what are the barriers or obstacles that have likely prevented your audience from already having it? And so you want to call those up and you want to help them reframe those barriers and obstacles, because if you leave with them thinking, well, this facilitator doesn't get it that I have barrier A or barrier B and I have obstacle X and X obstacle Y. If you haven't presenced those, then you're going to lose them. So, you know, here's an example of a not your fault. Most people don't have any money saved up at the end of the year, but that's not because, you know, you're not working hard or you're not intending to save up. It's because we as a culture haven't learned how to make ourselves happy. And when we've been taught by, you know, media and so many different places in our lives that spending money is the only sure way to do it. And so our way towards happiness lies in our kind of consumerism, right? Consuming our lives. So you might say that it's not their fault that they end the year without spending, without any money left in their bank accounts, right? And you might even go further and talk about the structures that basically have been put in place to make sure that that happens. You know, for every $1 you make, you end up owing two, right? And that system is an unbalanced system, right? And so it's designed to have somebody have more and the rest of us have less, when for every dollar you earn, you have to, you owe two, right? Or you owe $1.50, right? Or you owe $1.30. So anyway, that's an example of it's not your fault, right? The barriers and obstacles. Fourth part of your lecture is you want to talk about the mindset shift, right? This is the but really, fill in the blank. So this is the but really. This is the what you think they should believe about this topic, what you already believe. And in this part of your lecture, you're going to be doing the bulk of the work. This is you helping them slowly move from their mindset to your mindset. And you're going to associate them into an experience where they can feel that but really as absolutely true, so that when they hear it, it's like counterintuitive. And so you're going to walk them through this mindset shift. From that perspective, the barriers or obstacles are reduced or removed, right? And so, you know, here you're removing those obstacles. You're giving them a whole new framework for how they're seeing it. And you can use hypothetical experiences, stories that illustrate the point, or even diagrams, right? And so now the fifth part is really audience participation, which is, you know, who can see that this mindset shift would reduce or remove those barriers? So now that you've revealed it, now that you've used transformational elements like diagrams and rhetorical situations and narrative tags and these things, you're going to get them involved in your lecture to say, okay, who can see this? Who can see this mindset shift would reduce or remove those barriers? Raise your hand. Then when they raise their hand, you ask them, so what's that like for you? You know, And then you might say, well, who isn't ready to believe the but really? And the but really, you fill in the blank. You don't say the but really. But anyway, who's willing? Who's not ready yet to believe it? So what's your experience? And, you know, whatever they say, you say, you know, great. I think you'll find that that may shift after we do this next exercise. Right? So you're setting them up. You're validating their experience. You're not pretending it's not there. And you're letting them know that that shift is about to happen. Right? And so the sixth element in your lecture would be the how-to. And this is the if you just, right? This is the if you just of your clear story that takes them in easy to follow steps through the process of taking the new action you want them to take. So you want to retell in more detail some of the story from the beginning of the benefit, highlighting the specific steps that you actually took in that story that worked. You know, you might not have told all those steps in the early story, but now's the time to really chunk it down into something that'll feel easy and actionable by them. And if you imagine, for instance, a maze from a bird's eye view, you know, you're above it. And you can see all the corners and all the exits as you're looking down onto that maze. And when you really fully understand something, that's how it occurs to you, right? But the participants actually have a rat's eye view, right? And they're view of the maze, you know, is because they don't fully understand it. And so all they see is the walls. They don't see the view of like the pathways out and the corners and the turns that are ahead. They just see, you know, two walls and maybe, you know, a turn ahead of them, right? And so in order to help the participants navigate the maze, you have to give them instructions that would make sense to someone inside the maze who can only see the walls immediately around them. So you don't just give them the bird's eye view, you give them steps, the how-tos, as if you're in the maze following them and saying, okay, so here we see these walls, and here you see that turn ahead, you're gonna make a right-hand turn, so turn right, right there, right? You're not just gonna say, wow, well, there's lots of turns and twists, and here's how it goes. And at the end, here's what it's like, right? And a lot of facilitators just jump to the end experience. So that's your lecture. It's got those six elements, right? So one, you nail the field with audience feedback. Two, you create credibility and restate the benefit. Three, you talk about the it's not your fault section and talk about the obstacles and barriers that they have, right? Four, you bring about and presence the mindset shift, walking them through the perspectives. Five, you get their participation back and forth around that mindset shift so you know who's ready to believe it and who's not and where they're at. Six, you go to the how-to, which is giving them the steps chunked down. And so those six elements make up your lecture, which is our part two. Next is our part three, which is the interactive exercise. So after you've done your opener, and then after you've done your lecture, and you've gotten them participating, you actually want to go even further with that participation and get them interacting. There's nothing more boring than being at an event for days and days and days where all you do is just passively sit there and listen. And even if it's interesting, passively listening, it's like our attention spans aren't designed to sit through days and days of that. You know, basically, you know, different data will tell you that you basically have anywhere for as little as, you know, a few minutes all the way up to maybe 30 or 40 minutes tops for anyone's attention span, which is why your lecture's 30 minutes and then you move to an exercise. And so here you're going to do Q&A, you might do a dialogue, you might do partnered or small group exercises, you might do a writing and reflection exercise, you might do a closed eye process that walks them through an experience, you might work with someone on stage, one of our favorites, or you might engage the room in a game. But you're going to pick an exercise that's going to give them the experience, that's going to change their mindset, that's going to walk them through some of the steps it would take to have a different experience. So during this exercise, make sure to explicitly make the connection between the if you just, right, that you want them to do, these are the steps out in the world, and the steps of the exercise, right? So how does this exercise that we're doing that's not kind of as close to reality as being out in the real world, how is that exercise going to actually shape me in the real world? And so you want to actually make that connection with the exercise. So for example, if you're having them look in the mirror and state their organismic rights and relax their body as they're stating each of their organismic rights, which is one of the exercises in Recode, then as you're explaining the exercise, you should mention that this is going to help their relationship to those rights in their daily life and make it explicit that that exercise is what's going to build the kind of the ladder to them having those organismic rights. So just draw that connection. So that's the exercise. And we're going to have a training that goes deeper into how to do exercises. So that's part three. So part four is your debrief. So you got to make sure to do a debrief. You'll be engaging your participants and reflecting on the insights that they gained or the lessons learned from the exercise and the lecture. So like I said earlier, they're going to be like pregnant with wanting to share because they've had all of this stuff happen for them and come up for them, especially if you did a really powerful exercise. And people like to share their experience. And so if you don't do a debrief, you're kind of glossing over that energy that you've built in them and you're kind of dissipating it by just talking yourself. So you do want to do a debrief. And here's a series of staging questions. And again, we're going to have a whole training just about how to do debriefing. But just to get you started, here's some examples. So number one would be, what was that like for you? Right? And you ask a staging question so that you don't just say any questions. often when a facilitator says any questions, nothing comes for you because it's too wide. But if you ask the question, what's that like for you? Then all of a sudden, well, I can share what that was like for me. You're asking me a specific question. I can give you answers. So you'll get better participation. So this is the purpose of a staging question. So what was that like for you? Number two would be, who noticed the, but really, you'd fill in the blank, being true for them. So who noticed this, but really being true for you? Next would be, who found this easy? All right, raise your hand. Tell me about who found this easy. What was that like? Who found this difficult? I want to hear from those of you that found it difficult. Tell me a little bit about the difficulty you had. And then a fifth staging question might be, who had an aha or something that they want to make sure to take away that they'd actually like to share with the group, right? And so you want to ask those kinds of questions to, you know, really spark their creativity and make it easy for them to participate. So, you know, there's an entire training of this. So this is just a little bit of a cursory go through, but use those staging questions. So now we're at part five, right? And so part five is your closing. And here you're going to recap the experience that you're wanting them to walk away with and any specific bite-sized actions that you're wanting them to take outside the room. And this is also your opportunity to inspire them to take the next call to action for participating with you, which could be coming to the next event, signing up for a program, or maybe signing up for your additional services if you offer professional services or coaching. So here you're going to want to set the stage for a call to action. Even if it's not to participate or pay for anything with you because they already have, at least, you know, what action you want them to take as they leave the room. So you want to represence that in the close. So you're going to reiterate the clear story, but you know, one tip we'll give you about how to do a good closing is to future pace it for them. You know, a story that has them having that but really and doing the if you just, right? So you closed eye process, walk them into the future, have them presence themselves in a future moment and have them make visual images of them actually putting it all into practice and believing the thing you want them to believe. And that's a really powerful way to end. So that's it for the structure. So follow that structure. Remember, it's got an opening, it's got a lecture, it's got an interactive exercise, it's got a debrief, and it's got a close. And you can repeat that structure using this material here, and you can build yourself an incredible event of any length by repeating those sections, that we're repeating those five parts into each section. So hope that made it easy for you. I think if you take this, write down the outline, fill in your thoughts and ideas within that outline, following this structure that you're going to find creating a facilitated event. Super, super fun, super easy. You're going to read it and go, wow, this actually is coming together. And that's my hope of the experience that you're going to have. And I can see, actually see you having that experience, having walked through this and taught this before. And so I'd like to end with a quote. And, you know, because storytelling is such a part of facilitation, this quote is actually from the National Council of Teachers of English that are encouraging more and more teachers to use storytelling to facilitate their classes. And it goes like this. The storyteller looks into the eyes of the audience, and together they compose the tale. The storyteller begins to see and recreate through voice and gesture a series of mental images. The audience, from the first moment of listening, squints, stares, smiles, leans forward, or falls asleep. And that lets the teller know whether to slow down or speed up or elaborate or just finish. So each listener, as well as each teller, actually composes a unique set of story images derived from meanings associated with those words, gestures, and sounds. And the experience can be profound, exercising the thinking and touching emotions of both the teller and the listener. Right? And so that's the quote from the National Council of Teachers. And it just tells us that we're co-creating a dance with our audience. And that if we're listening as we're telling, that they're telling as they're listening, and if that we'll play that dance together with them, that we'll arrive at the same place together. So really looking forward to taking some live questions and working with some of you on the structure of your presentation so we can start filling those in together. So good luck, and have a great rest of your training.